My message, or the message I'm going to try to give today, is stated best in the reflection summary in today's bulletin on the back. Powerfully ordinary. We want to be special. There's not anybody in here who doesn't strive to be special in some way. We say we want to make it special, whatever it is. Our cultural messages focus on the extraordinary and the more. Dissatisfaction with ourselves can become chronic. It can actually keep us from being engaged actors for good. But wait, this is life. This is the gift of life. In this season, it's brought forward in a baby and an ordinary story. Ordinary is the soul that gives us power to be the special that we are, and then to make the real ordinary difference that lives in each of our hearts and lives. Ordinary is the soul that gives us power to be the special that we are. We usually think of ordinary with a little tone of condescension, sort of you're even hearing it with a yes, but. Ordinary we think of as less than special. The definition reflects that, with no special or distinctive features. But then it says normal. Synonyms are usual, normal, typical, common, habitual, everyday, regular, routine, day-to-day. I don't want to be that. But I started thinking about ordinary as simply being within the larger order of things and being. Simply being within that order. Ordinary. Normal then takes on a new meaning too. It's one grounded more in natural, in the order of things. And then some of you will say, what order? The interdependent, relational, inclusive nature and order of life and love, and I would add justice. It's something that I know and feel when I say it and think to notice it that way. It then makes ordinary real, and it makes ordinary powerful. Ordinary then is not the not special we associate with it. It is very special. In a culture that denies and discounts any such foundational grounded reality and actually works to keep us disconnected from the simple nature of that and of who we are. When Carter Hayward spoke here a few weeks ago, she said that God wasn't some supreme special being out there, but something more that lives in the power that exists in the relational spaces and energy and love of being interdependent relational beings and then living as such. Quote, imagine a self constituted by our connection with the earth and with other people, close quotes. Our presence then is not defined by how special we are and the extraordinary special things we do or have done, but by actually locating ourselves and living well in this ordinariness that we have been gifted, actually establishing what Carter calls right relations with ourselves and all others. And that should be our way of living well. I was thinking about this, and I called up Reverend Michael Carter, who many of you know, and I asked him if there was a good reading about the subject of ordinary. He didn't know of one, but he went very quickly into this wonderfully clear riff on ordinary. And he said, in a world where everybody is special, where we have such a culture of fame, most people don't know they're like most people. Most people don't know they're like most people. I don't think like that because I'm special. And if I'm not special in some way, there must be something wrong with me. Of course, I'm not ordinary. I'm extraordinary in some way. He said we see it in activists all the time. Whatever I'm doing is what makes me special. I must be different, better. And then if I'm not, I feel threatened. I feel defensive. I feel threatened, even with myself. That leads to tension in our relationships. What is wrong with being ordinary? He said, entertainment is an industry of establishing I'm unique. And everybody we go to ask them for an opinion is what? A specialist. Me, he says, I'm just an old-fashioned human being. I'm not saying I'm nothing, I'm something. And my self-dignity starts here, powerfully ordinary. If you want to know who's to blame for all this, it was my counselor that started this thinking several weeks ago. I was struggling with not being able to make the progress I wanted to make on some things. Let's just say that my perfectionism, being special, kept me from starting. And let's leave it at that, so I don't give you fuel for whatever you need to point out to me. But I was going through this and what I was having trouble with, and she looked at me and asked, are you okay with being ordinary? It was that probing aha question that you hope for but don't like when you get it that makes you squirm. I paused and then I heard it in two ways. No, I'm not okay with being ordinary when it means I'm not living up to some standards I've set for myself for some reason, or that I have because of some outside reason, and I'm afraid of not meeting for whatever that outside reason is. Usually there are people associated with that. It was sort of a not okay with fear attached to it. But I felt right then an okay ordinary. It was a sense of experiences I remembered which said nothing about my abilities in society, but spoke to me of what was important. And when I felt that I was in right relationship with life and love, even if I didn't know to call it that back then. It was when I was and felt a part of the order of things. It came from the ordinary things that I liked to do. It was more a loving okay. Feminist theologian Mary Daly writes of a deeply abiding joy in the wonder of life, the transformative happiness possible in life, a happiness born of love for oneself, the earth, and others. Think of how you're thinking of that right now as extraordinary, out of the ordinary. But it's ordinary. A deep abiding joy in the wonder of life. The transformative happiness possible in life, born of love for oneself, the earth, and others. This sounds extraordinary, but it is precisely the ordinary that she is holding up. She talks about being elementally inspired by remembering moments of wonder and contentment. Quote, when she can recall early experiences of the smell of leaves on an October day, the taste of raspberries at a picnic, the feel of sand warmed by the sun, she is empowered, energized by her own unique, ordinary, elemental memories. She can break through the maze of adult categories. Now I see ordinary not as a judgment, but as a ground, a foundation, more a base of strength and focus, a home from which to be perhaps some form of extraordinary, but one of my choosing. But first I have to tend my life and the life around me as a householder. That's sort of in the Buddhist use of the word, or a homemaker in the liberated, self-loving view of the words. And then if I focus on that, as I'm drawn out into the world and everything that's going on and what I'm scared of and worried about and react to, I can always come back to this is what I need to be doing in the world to build the foundation from which I can then take that world on. Don't discount the ordinary just because it doesn't seem out of the ordinary. If you think about it, this is actually the foundation, the home base for what we call the beloved community, which Sharon Welch says is an appropriate symbol for the ever ongoing process of celebrating life, enduring limits, and resisting injustice. The beloved community, not the kingdom of God, names the matrix within which life is celebrated, love is worshiped, and partial victories over injustice lay the groundwork for further acts of criticism and courageous acts of defiance. Close quotes. Those are encouraging words for me in these uncertain times. And they are at the scale of my competence. They are at the scale of our order of things. She goes on to say that it's love that provides the resiliency of commitment, vision, and hope when efforts for change either are defeated repeatedly or are shown to be insufficient. The recognition that we cannot imagine how we will change society is the beginning point, not the end of an ethic founded on love for oneself and others. The paragraph that we read in the reading concludes by bringing us back to the power of what? The ordinary. A deep joy accompanies the cycle of providing shelter and food, nurturing the young, and celebrating the beauty of life in art, music, and poetry. And then recognizing that this should be our hope and goal for everyone. I am an ordained minister, and when I finished divinity school, the first congregation in Lincoln, Massachusetts ordained me to the Unitarian Universalist minister. I was given a stole, and I put it on to represent being in the service of the larger ministry, in the order of ministers. And so on the Sunday after the election, as I was getting reoriented, I put my stole on. Remember that? I left it off and then I put it on, saying that whatever happened, I was still in the service of the inclusive, inspired, engaged vision of Unitarian Universalism and the mission of this congregation. Another way to understand it now, which really speaks to me, is that I am in the service of the ordinary, the natural order of being. The interdependent, relational, inclusive nature of life and love and justice. And so are you. Each one of you. I'm not special. I just do this. In my ordinary way. And don't some of you riff off on that either. But in my ordinary way, and I find power in that, I just do this in my ordinary way. And so do each of you every day. As Carter Hayward said, being in the service of life and love and justice is not a sacrifice taking you away from life. It is an enlargement of self, of yourself. It is you being you in the service of ordinary as your being should be. We can't despair when we see setbacks or don't see extraordinary or special results. That is a trap that leads to disengagement and disengagement with real life. It leads to some version of middle class despair and more of a checked out, disconnected, entertained illusion of life. So here we are gathered on the Sunday before Christmas, Hanukkah, and solstice, doing what? Celebrating life and talking about powerfully ordinary ways to live on. Let's look at the traditions and orientations that helped bring such a day to us and this gathering to us and then us to the day. Holy days, holidays, and traditions in the service of the beloved community. Powerfully ordinary. So we begin with Yule and the solstice, the shortest day. And that shortest day will be this Wednesday, the moment of solstice for Hendersonville. Do you know what time that is? 5:44 a.m. That's that mark after which the days begin to lengthen. I'm sure you'll notice. And after that, more light returns each day. The earth begins to tilt back towards the sun. There is nothing more in the order of things than the sun. It is the source of our energy. It is the source of all life. It is what powers this special planet to create life. there's nothing more ordinary. The sun rises, and I give thanks for 24 brand new hours. It shines on everyone. You could think of that as the simple explanation of universalism. One human family, one origin, one nature, one destiny. The sun shines on everybody, not just on special you and your special friends. It shines on everybody. Michael reminded me of how the Dalai Lama always declares his ordinariness, and it places him as one among many in this whole human family. He says, I'm just one of 6 billion human beings. And then he does in his Dalai Lama accent, which Michael can try to do. He goes, nothing special. I'm nothing special. As human beings, he says, we're all the same. We want to live a happy life, and we all have the right to do so. I'm no different. I'm just an ordinary monk. A monk in the service of the ordinary. Christmas is next Sunday. Think about how Unitarians insisted that Jesus was not God. They said he was a human being. Now, the early ministers and thinkers would insist that he was special and not really ordinary, and they tried to figure out how special he was and if he was part God, part human, and it went back and forth as they were moving into that sense of Jesus being a human being. They struggled with what that meant, but they were struggling because he was a human being in the order and nature of things. And because he was a human being, his teachings speak to us as ordinary human beings. We can live like him, love like him, be like him, and other religious exemplars in our own powerfully ordinary ways. So Christmas language that is about the Savior or King doesn't really fit easily for me anymore. Nor does the Kingdom of God language. But it's more the beloved community gathered round a baby in a stable with cows and sheep and those local shepherds. Peace for the world starts from each of us being focused and our ordinary, powerfully ordinary raising of the baby and living in the loving service of the order of being, the order of interdependent being and beings. No matter what is going on around us, we all know how to take our parts in some of this. In the language of the holidays, we celebrate the return of the sun, we celebrate the liberation of Hanukkah, we celebrate this birth of the baby named Jesus, or Jesus. And in the language of the beloved community, we are celebrating life in its ordinariness. It's also the language we read in our mission statement for the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville. Last week, and I'll close on this, last week our no-rehearsal Christmas pageant embodied just what I'm saying. We retold the story of the birth of Jesus, and we made it happen right here, right there in the moment. We had costumes over here, but we had to ask for volunteers from the audience to make it happen. It was volunteers that made it happen. We recreated the story of the birth of the baby and its simple setting of life and love and shelter and a diverse community. And in the middle of that day was a moment of hope, ordinary hope that was its own story. A story to be noticed and held up and retold today and maybe retold again. At first, people were a little hesitant to volunteer. That's the nature of volunteering or stepping out. They didn't want to be the first ones. They had to see how this pageant was going to go. Ron did volunteer right away to be Caesar. He liked that. And it still says, all the name tags, all the stage directions were taken off, except up here on the podium, it still has Caesar taped to the podium. But I'll get rid of that because I don't view myself that way. So Ron was Caesar, and then Robin Granger jumped at the chance to be Mary. She actually said, this may be my only chance. But then there was a long pause when I asked for a volunteer to be Joseph, who was engaged to Mary. And it wasn't a personal affront to Robin. It was just a pause around this notion of being engaged to Mary. And then Giselle raised her hand and stood up in that, yes, here I am, positive way. It was perfect. And it seemed that way. It didn't feel extraordinary. It felt right and normal. It was not out of the ordinary. Powerfully ordinary. Did you notice it? They could be gay. They could be straight. And their name was Joseph. Maybe that's really why they didn't get a room in the inn, after all. But if you're struggling with looking for stories of hopeful change, here it is, right here. It was only 9 months ago that House Bill 2 passed. Only 9 months. We responded with new awareness and commitment for all of us. Also, enough of our fellow North Carolinians came together to elect a governor who opposed it and wants it overturned. And I know there are all kinds of things going on, but that is there. The day after the election, President Obama, in an interview for the Rolling Stone, this was the day after the election, held this up as an example of what we can do if we work together and connect with each other. He held up North Carolina. He said it from his position of experience and with the wisdom of the bigger view. He also noted that American voters are increasingly and with shocking speed accepting of the need to treat the LGBTQ community with respect. That was a part of his interview. A story of hopeful change. And it's a vision of the world that we want to create or raise for our children. That baby lying in a manger. And there it was. In the beginning of the ancient story, there it was in our no rehearsal celebration of life and the beloved community. There it was, right in front of us, powerfully ordinary, powerfully hopeful. And it was a vision we had created in that moment. Ordinary is the soul that gives us power to be the special that we are. And to make the real ordinary difference that lives in each of our hearts and lives. Embrace your ordinary. I can see some of you struggling with that, but embrace it. Settle into it. It's okay to be ordinary. It's not only okay, it's the ground from which we can keep taking one more step engaged in the world at a time. Ordinary is the soul that gives us power to be the special that we are. So this holiday season, find something that you care about, engage in it, and give the world the gift, the powerfully ordinary gift of you. So here I am wishing you a happy Yule. I finally got to where I can sing Deck the Hall and fa-la-la-la-la. Wishing you a happy Yule and a powerfully hopeful Hanukkah and Christmas this time.